So welcome to you. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing a couple of songs to start with. Father, we thank you for all that you are. You're the tie that binds us together through Jesus. You are the one that is the focus of what this church is all about. We come to glorify you for your love and your grace and your kindness, shown most of all to us in Jesus, your Son who you sent to live, die, rise again, and the one who's coming one day to get all this messy world put back to how it should be, how you made it. We look forward to that day. But we're here to worship you. We thank you for the joy in our hearts. We know that there will be those here this morning that have come with anxious hearts, troubled hearts, sad hearts. Would you draw near and minister to them, we pray as well. Speak to us, show us more of yourself today, that we might know more of you and our Saviour and the Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing two songs as we start this morning. The first one, two really well-known ones, In Christ Alone, we're going to sing to start with, which just lifts up our leader, our Saviour, Jesus, and is a confession of why he is so special to us. And then music team, when you're ready and you can go straight into the second one, which I know is a favourite for the children particularly, and a lot of us older ones love it as well, it's My Lighthouse. Thanks, guys.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my death. power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. In the silence you won't let go, in the questions your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. May I light out my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust a promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. What tomorrow brings, with each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa. You are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse, I will trust a promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Hey! My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you. My lighthouse, I will trust a promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore. Safe to shore, safe to shore.
And we are going to have to get some of you youngsters up here. I must remember when we do that, if you'll come and show us the actions, because loads of you are doing them. And the rest of us don't know, so I'm kind of feeling a bit left out at the front here. This morning, we are going to look at one of the great things, one of the wonderful miracles that Jesus did when he was here on earth. And we're going to have a video that takes us through the story, explains the story for us on here. It's an animation. It's on the story. Now, here's the thing. You need to watch and listen really carefully, because I've got some questions afterwards. So we're going to have a little quizzy competition afterwards. So watch this. Watch the pictures. Look at the people. Take in the things. I'm giving you some clues here. The things that you can see as well as the things that you can hear. Let's watch.
The miracle of mercy. Jesus heals. This is Jesus. Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus did many amazing things. He taught everyone about God's love, healed people from their sickness, and even calmed storms. The news of Jesus had spread all around, and many people wanted to come and see what he was doing. No matter where Jesus went, great crowds of people would follow him. Jesus went to his own town, and news spread that he was back home.
Ow!
Soon, the house where he was staying was packed. So Jesus began to preach God's word to the people. Meanwhile, some men heard that Jesus was in town. So they decided to take their paralyzed friend to him to be healed, for their friend wasn't able to walk.
Excuse me?
Huh?
But when they got to the house, they couldn't reach Jesus because of the crowd.
Oh, well.
No!
So they went to the roof and dug a hole right above Jesus.
We got this.
Then they lowered their friend down into the crowd right in front of Jesus.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
Jesus saw their faith, so he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." There were some Pharisees and teachers of religious law in the room, though, and they were horrified that Jesus would say such a thing. They said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this? Is it easier to say to this man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?"
What?
Jesus went on to say that he would prove to them that he was allowed to forgive sins.
Yeah, right.
And so Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home."
Okay.
So the paralyzed man stood up and picked up his mat. The entire room was stunned as the man walked out through the crowd. All were amazed and praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this before." And they believed that God had sent Jesus with the authority to forgive sins and the ability to help the hurting.
So I've got my special dice here. It goes up to number 12, this one, 12-sided. I need two adults to be my chief dice rollers, please. Who's going to be adults? Oh, Samuel, because they need you to do the questions. Adults. Mark, come on. You could be one. Have we got a lady who'd be a dice roller? Tracy, thank you. And we'll just split you down here somehow. Richard, I don't know which side you're going to go on. Are you going to be left or right? All right. So, roll it down. One of you's going to roll. We'll roll it down here because most of the children can see down here. Right, so you get to roll the whole way down there. Yeah, whichever. Not yet. Wait for it. Wait for it. We've got to ask. So this side, first of all, your question. There's less on this side, so you're going to. I hope you were listening carefully. In the video, what colour belt was Jesus wearing? Oh, by the way, I need somebody to keep score. Anybody good at keeping scores here just to add up? Yeah? You're scoring? I need... yeah, but you're going to be concentrating too much. Got a good volunteer. Right, this side over here. Who have we got? Samuel, I think you were first. It was a blue belt. Well done. Here, let's see how many you're going to get. You just as far as you like... Yeah, we'll see where it goes. How many she got? You're right, Nat, Will. Thank you, mate. And it's just terrible, isn't it? How many? No cheat in here, Mr. Rawding. How many was it? 10. Whoa, good start. Right, so this side over here, in which town, where was Jesus when he did the miracle? Where was he? It said that in a place. Adults as well. Get your thinking caps on. Yep. Yeah. We got Tilly. I'll give you that one. There was something else they said. It was in Capernaum, was Tilly's answer. She was really clever. On here, they said something different. No. It was the place was right, but they gave it, they just, in his hometown, they said on there. That was what I was really looking for, but Capernaum is even better. Go on, roll away. What's he got? 8. Oh, right over this side. What did Jesus do inside the house when he was inside? What did he do? That was quick, Caleb. Before he did that. Right, go on, Rory. Before he did that, it said he did something in the house. I'm gonna have to give it over to this side. We've had 2 goes. Anybody over this side gonna know? Ted, you got your hand up? Anybody else over this side? Richard? He taught the people. That was the right answer. So you get to go. Get a roll over. You got to be quick on this one. We can't play games on this, you know. Otherwise we'll be here. 9. Right. 9. Can you do that in English? Right. It's your go again, because that was a Passover. What colour blinds did the house have on the outside? You notice there was some sun blinds. What colour blinds did they have? Who's going to have a go? They were 2 colours. 2 colours. Tilly knows again. Go on, Tilly. Red and white, they were. Red and white. Very good observation. How many has he got? 12. Oh, this side over here, you've got some catching up to do. What was wrong? What was wrong? What is wrong with him? What was wrong? What was wrong with the man in the story? What was wrong with the man in the story? Samuel, he was disabled. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. Well done. Here we go. Oh, I like the long throw. It's a good one. How many is it? 10. Right, over to this side. Why couldn't his friends get into the house? Why couldn't the man's friends get into the house? Because of the crowd, exactly it was. While he's rolling that one, this side, get ready. This is your one coming up. He's not done it again, has he? How many? 11. He's got it weighted. This side over here, what plan did they come up with to get Jesus in front of get the man in front of Jesus? Somebody who hasn't answered, Luke. They went through the roof. That's it. Good stuff. That's a 9. That's a good score. That's above average. Right, what was the first thing? Well, I'm going to ask the adults this one. What was the first thing that Jesus said to the man? Adults only. It's too easy for the children. What did they say? Gene. Where's Gene? Gene at the back, sorry. Your sins are forgiven. Well done. You got that one, Ted? Arthur? Yeah, should have asked, shouldn't I? Right, over this side, there were some men that didn't like what Jesus was doing. They didn't like it that he said that his sins were forgiven. Your question is, what color hats were they wearing? Hats. What color hats? Are you on this side, Ted? Yeah, you're squeezed. Go on and go for this. Blue, yellow, and red. Blue, yellow, and white was the answer, but how many? Well, that serves you right for cheating then. What did those people say to each other? The people with the blue, yellow, and white hats on, what did they say about Jesus? What did they say? Grown-ups, come on, you might need to help again on here. Anybody? Richard, going over. I thought you were on that side a minute ago. You're on this side. Did you make your mind up? What did they say? They did say that, but they said something else as well was the answer I was looking for. Tilly? No? 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 I'm getting tangled up here. I'm going to offer it over to this side if there's anybody. If not, I'll give them half their score. Justin. Just in time. Who do you think you are? Good. This is your chance because that was your bonus one, I think, wasn't it? Oh. This side again. What did Jesus... That was two, by the way. What did Jesus do to prove that he could forgive sins? Because who do you think you are? Only God can forgive sins. What did he do to prove that he could actually forgive the sins? What did he do? Go on, three of you all together. Go on, say it out loud. Yeah, he healed him. He made him better. He made him well. Good. Here we go. And last question. What did Jesus tell the man? How many did she get? Well, we'll just take it. It was a two or three or something rubbish like that. Fine. This one on here, but I think we got the winners anyway. What did Jesus tell the man to do? What did you... God. Is that what you're going to say? I was looking at little girl behind you. That's okay, Leo. That's all right. What did he tell him to do? Stand up, take up your mat and walk. Fantastic. Well done. Come on, Mark. Roll it and we'll get the scores on the doors. How many did he get? Six. Six. And how quick is our... That's it. That was the last question, guys. So here we go. Really? Wow, fantastic. Good stuff. 40, 52. I thought it was going to be more than that. Right, we're going to have a little game. I need two volunteers. I would like, Raffy, if you want. It's not a hard one. It can be an adult. It's a little maze game on this one. We're going to find our way through a maze. We're going to get somewhere first, and we're going to time it. So, what you're going to have to do is I'm going to give you a microphone. You're going to have a maze that comes up on the screens, and you're going to have to tell Martin where to go. And it's the so that's the maze. Take it off, Martin, because otherwise they'll get it fast. Take it off. Don't want to give them any clues. Right. So you've had a subliminal view of that one to start with. So you're going to stand here, and you're going to tell Martin where to go, and we'll see how long it takes you to find your way through the maze. Who'd like to have a go at this one? Right. Emil, come on. You can do this. So that's going to be on, right? Somebody, Paul, were you going to do timing on this one? Yep. Paul was going to time on this. And we'll see how long it's going to take him to get through. You have a maximum of a minute. If you do it, you get maximum points, which I don't know what they are, but you just get the satisfaction of doing it, all right? So we'll have another adult after this one. So an adult from that side over there somewhere, all right? Are we ready? Ready, Paul? Ready, steady, when it comes up. You're going to tell him down, right, left, up.
Yeah. Okay, that way. Yeah. Down. This way. Down. That way. Down. This way. Up. Right. Up. Left. Up. Left. Down. Left. Down. Out.
Yeah, well done. Excellent. And how long was he, Paul? 36.25. We could have a little bit more accurate than that if we could, please, next time. Right, who's going to have a go on this side of like an adult? If there is an adult that will do that, we're going to have a different maze, by the way. You're not going to get another go through that one. Who'd like to have a go over on this side? Who's going to have a go? Or am I... Come on, Mark. Microphone. You're going to do it from over... Yes, you don't need to use that screen. Right, so your maze is going to come up.
Oh, is it that one?
No, it's not that one. It's a different one. It's a different one. Right, Martin, can we have just slide it through? You'll see. There we go. So that was Wynn. Right, here's your maze coming up, Mark. That one, right. Ready? Ready, go.
Down, down, left, down, right. Keep going right, right, down, down, right, whoa, up, yeah, down, 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 left, left, down, 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 left, 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 down.
Well done. Well done. And the time on that one, Paul? 25. Oh! Fantastic. So why did we do that? Why we think? Because the people that had got their friend on the mat, the man that couldn't walk, needed to get to Jesus. They'd got a puzzle. How are we going to get him to Jesus? And they had to think their way through it. It was a bit of a puzzle for them. It's a bit of a maze. And they, you know the story, they took him up onto the roof. They managed to let him down through the roof and right in front of Jesus. Sometimes doing mazes and puzzles are hard. And the temptation can be to give up. On children, on your craft sheet outside, there's a maze. And I want to see how many of you can get through that this morning. But adults, we know that in life it can be a bit of a maze and there can be a tendency to easily give up and think, oh, I can't do this. Those men could have given up on thinking they'll get their friend to Jesus. They could have said, it's too hard. There's too many people. They had to think outside of the box. They had to come up with a plan on how to do it. They didn't give up and they got their friend to Jesus because they believed that Jesus was the one that could heal him. They'd seen and they'd heard what Jesus had done before and they thought, our friend is sick. He needs to go to Jesus because Jesus has got the power to heal him. And so they made their way to him. They were determined that he could make him better. Those of you who came along to the Hope Explored course last Sunday evening, we were thinking about Jesus being the mighty God and that Jesus proved that he's God by the things that he did. The fact that he made that man who couldn't walk better showed the power of Jesus. It was something that only God could do. Jesus is God. That makes him very special. The other thing I want you to remember this morning in this little introductory bit into the story, Paul is going to go a little bit deeper with the adults in a moment, is that they thought the man's need was to be made better in that he could walk. But when they got a big surprise, because the first thing that Jesus said wasn't get up and walk, what was the first thing that Jesus said? Do you remember? He talked about the sins, didn't he? Yet your sins are forgiven you. The man's greatest need was to have his sins. Who can tell me what are sins? What is a sin? What is it? Got Caleb and Rory between you. The bad things that we do in life, that's it. And what's the problem with them? What do they do? If we do something bad, what's the problem with it? Apart from we get told off by mum, but they affect your life and living. That's a brilliant answer. They do something else as well, which is even worse than that. Do you know what else they do? They separate us from God. They separate us from God so that God isn't the friend that he wants to be with us. Because God is perfect and God is holy. And sin makes us not perfect and not good. And that means we can't be the friends with God like he wants us to be. And Jesus said, that's the most important thing, to get your sins forgiven so you get clean and so that you can be friends with God and God can be friends with you. So children, grown-ups, this morning, let's just think about this. The most important thing in life is having our sins forgiven. And Jesus is the one that can do that. In fact, he is the only one that can forgive our sins and make us friends with God again. So I hope that you will remember that. I'm going to ask Paul to come and take us through the rest of our service this morning. He's going to pray with us. Then we might have time for a song. I'll leave him to make his mind up on that one. But he's going to come and pray with us this morning.
Father, we thank you for that incredible story that we have been learning about, Lord, this morning. And the story, Lord, of faith in you and what happens, Lord, when those two things connect. And, Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, this morning for those obstacles in our life, Lord, that hinder us from getting closer to you. The things that are within us, Lord, the sadness, the fear, the confusion, Lord. Father, you call us to come and rest in you, and you can remove and help us overcome all those obstacles. Lord, the obstacles of life, of circumstance, of missed opportunity, of failure, of what could have been, of things being out of our control. Lord, this morning you call us just to rest in you. You are the miracle working, the wonder working, sin forgiving Saviour. And so this morning, Lord, we want to come and rest and put our trust in you. And I pray, Lord, that you would give us each the faith to do that. Father, as we come together, Lord, we want to give you thanks for the miracle and wonder of new life, of Isla and of Barney. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life, the miracle of life, for the joy of new life, Lord. When we hear news like that, it just puts smiles on our faces, Lord, and we thank you for that. And we just ask, Lord, that you will be with those families now, Father. Lord, we pray for health, strength, and grace to be given to the babies, Lord, to Barney and Isla, to both the mums and the dads, Lord. Will you pour out your blessing on them, Lord, in these coming days and weeks, we ask. And so, Lord, we thank you for your unconditional, your unrelenting love towards us. Lord, help us to come to your word now, Lord, to receive from it, Father. Pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith this morning, Lord. You would increase our trust in you this morning, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're gonna read. We've read in one way, watched the cartoon, but let's read what it says in God's word. And Daniel's going to come up and read from Luke 5, verses 17 to 26 for us. Thank you, Daniel.
Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy, who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today."
Well done, Daniel. That was a very good effort, mate. Thank you. Despite the best attempts of us to make that hard for you. Okay, right. Going to see an animal appear on the screen in a moment. And does anyone know what this animal is? Because I didn't have a clue. And I'll be mighty... Oh, I suppose you would know, wouldn't you, Emil? Yeah. What is it, Emil? A what? A bulldog, did you say? Yeah, it's an impala. Anyone else know it was an impala? Peter, Bridget, oh, of course, because you go to Africa. Yeah, okay. It's an African impala. I didn't have a clue what an African impala was. And do you know how far an African impala, an African impala can jump? Anyone know that? 10 feet. 10 feet in the air, an African impala can jump. And they can cover a distance of 30 feet when they jump. So these animals can be found in zoos. So how high do you think you would need a wall, an enclosure, to keep an African impala? Have a guess. Just somebody be brave and have a guess.
10 foot 1 inch.
Yep. Very good, Steve. Yeah, thank you for that, mate. I appreciate that. Yeah, whoever said that, Richard, yeah, sorry. I can't go on, can I, with that, yeah. 3 feet. 3 feet are the height of the walls in a zoo enclosure to keep an African impala. Because these animals, they will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. So that's why you just need a 3 foot wall. And I like that illustration. I like that little fact, because it teaches us something about faith, doesn't it? It teaches us something about faith, in that faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the enclosures and the obstacles in our lives that actually only fear allows to entrap us. And today, I hope in a really simple way, I believe God wants us to realize that wholehearted faith in him is something that will transform our lives, our hearts, and our mindset for the better. This is a great description of what faith in God looks like. Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You see, this morning, it's possible for us to have faith like a wild, free impala. Or we can have faith that is like an impala in a zoo, trapped and immobilized by what we see around us in our lives, in our world, what we feel within us, in our hearts and minds. So just looking at this story this morning, first thing I want us to notice is this, that faith means that we can remove rooftops. And let's just go, you know, to the great parts of this story. Faith means we can remove rooftops. Let's just read verses 18 and 19 together. It says in Luke 5, "Some men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat They tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. You see, these men, they come to a situation where they have a desperate need. And that's for their mate. I'm assuming that's their mate, because they're very kind to him. And they have this desperate need for their mate to be healed by Jesus. But in some senses, they seem powerless to be able to get to Jesus, to get close to Jesus. And in one sense, there's so much against these men in this story. I don't know if you ever sort of noticed that. You've got this massive crowd. We read that people have come from every village of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. You've got this massive crowd, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. But they're not just a massive crowd, they're a passionate crowd. They're here because of Jesus. They want to see Jesus. Some of them want to see Jesus for good reasons, and some of them want to see Jesus for bad reasons. They don't like Jesus. And here's the thing as well in this story, that these men with this paralyzed man, they're not visible to this crowd. They're invisible. And one of the reasons for that is not just because there's loads of people here, it's because of the very poor social status of the paralyzed man. He's at the bottom of the rung, if you like, of society. And that means that they have no chance of getting to Jesus. This man, he's paralyzed, but he's not a priority. He's not the man that the crowd thinks should be right up front in the front row box office tickets, yeah? But these men, they know that Jesus is the only solution to their friend's problem. And because they know that, they find another way. Because there has to be a way to Jesus, doesn't there? If Jesus is the only solution, there can't not be a way to him. That's how their mind is thinking. So they climb the steps at the side of the house. Or if there was no steps at the side of that house, there would have been steps at the side of the house next to it. And they would have got across the roof because it was so close. And they go up onto the roof. And it's a flat roof because that's the way houses were. And the roof is made of a big thick layer of mud. And then there's twigs and wood and then beams of wood underneath that. And it's about 2 feet deep, and they dig their way through, making a hole big enough to drop a whole adult male body through. I want to say to you this morning, church, and to myself, this is the kind of faith that God is calling us to today. And it might well be, as you sit here this morning, that you have been trying to search for Jesus in your situation. Maybe you have been waiting for guidance. Maybe you're waiting, you're hoping for some kind of miracle. But every time you try and go forward in faith, you just hit an obstacle after obstacle and you give up. And maybe you feel like you're just powerless in your situation, like these men kind of were in one sense, and you might feel overwhelmed maybe by people's opinion, the tide of popular opinion that just seems to sweep us along, doesn't it? Just like the passionate crowd that blocked the door to Jesus. God is prompting us each this morning to locate all our hope, all our faith in him. And you know what he is telling you and me through this story? He is telling you, persevere. Don't give up. Because at the end of those steps, the other side of that roof is Jesus, who is ready with miracle working power for your life. Did you notice the little aside bit in verse 17? Right at the end of verse 17, we've got a little introduction by Luke about what's going on. And then it says, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to those who were ill. Jesus was ready. He knew something was going to happen that day. Jesus is ready with his power for your life. And here is the thing that God asked me in my preparation, and I believe he wants to ask you this morning through this story, very specifically, what roofs do you need to remove? That's obviously a metaphor. What roofs do you need to remove? Where in your life have you actually settled for something less than God has for you? What person, what situation, what opportunity have you given up on because of obstacles? God is telling you this morning to trust him, to keep going forward in faith, because he has something for you. Isn't that incredible? You see, faith in this story is the intent to get to near as Jesus as possible. That's faith in this story. Have you done that in your life? Are you doing that now? Are you trying to get as near as you can to Jesus? Can I be a bit personal and say, are you trying to get as near as you can to Jesus in your marriage, with your family, with your work, with your church life, with your plans? Because those are all the things that interrupt us and move us and pain us most, aren't they? And we have to have the intention in our hearts, the faith in our hearts, to believe that the closer we get to Jesus, the more wonder-working miracle power he will pour out into our lives and transform us. So that's a question to consider this morning. Secondly, there's a real challenge to this story, and it's this. Which group are we in? Where do you see yourself in this story? Because we're presented with this challenge, because if we're not like the men on the roof, then it means we're in the crowd on the ground, doesn't it? And who are these people on the ground? Well, in this crowd, we've got opposition to Jesus. We've got the teachers of the law, the Pharisees. They've just come here to catch Jesus out, to prove him wrong, to prove that he's not who he says he is, that he's a fraud, he's a blasphemer against God. Then we have people who are curious. They might be there for just entertainment. They've heard rumors about Jesus, so they're flocking from all over. But here's the thing in this story. It's the people on the ground who are closer to Jesus physically who are more paralyzed than the man being carried to him through a roof. Because all those people, particularly those teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they're right up close to Jesus, but they're spiritually paralyzed. Because they're not present, because they know that they personally need Jesus and his power for their lives. They don't see Jesus for who he is, the Son of God. Their eyes are closed. Their hearts are hardened towards him. And this is our experience. This is our experience when we have a half-hearted faith, or we have no faith in God. This is what happens when we settle for what we see and not for what God has promised us. Then we become resistant. Then we become closed to what God can do in our lives. Think about the tragedy of this story. There's a massive tragedy in this story. And it's this, that the massive crowd in the house, outside the house, they should not have been blocking people getting to Jesus, should they? They should have been lining the way, inviting and calling people into Jesus, to the one who heals, to the one who forgives sin. You don't block the way to someone like that, do you? See how different life would be if we were all more open to the possibilities of faith in God. And that is the tragedy of unbelief, because unbelief blocks us and blinds us to the person that we desperately need, Jesus. And it's possible for both the unbeliever in Jesus and even the Christian, the believer in Jesus, it's possible for them both to be in this crowd of blockage and little faith. So I want to ask you this morning, are you resistant? Are you closed to the possibilities of what God can do in your life and through you and around you? You know, some of you here, you're Christians here this morning, and you might know in your head that, you know, I need to be like that African impala making great leaps of faith for the Lord, running free in the ocean of God's love. That's where I should be. That's what I know I should be. But actually, if we're in this crowd of doubt, of criticism, of cynicism, then all we are doing is enclosing ourselves in a cage of fear and doubt. And we won't get to Jesus that way, because we're living by what we see and not by faith in what God has promised us. Then lastly this morning, faith in Jesus, real faith in Jesus, is trusting God for what we need and not just what we want. Because the big moment in this story is in verses 20 and 21. So they've lowered the paralyzed man down, and this is Jesus' response, verse 20 and 21. He says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You see, what this man wanted was healing. What he needed was his sins forgiven. Jesus forgives this man's sins first, as Stuart was saying earlier, and then he heals him to show to the crowd, to the doubters, that he is the Son of God who is able to do the greatest thing that any human can ever experience, is to have their sins forgiven. And we might think, we can easily dupe ourselves into thinking that our greatest need is better health, more secure finances, a more comfortable life, more pleasure. But our greatest need is to know Jesus. But the thing in this story is that the moment that Jesus makes this personal and places himself in the position of God, we see an aggressive reaction to Jesus from the religious people there, from the religious people, the people who knew the Old Testament like the back of their hand, that were devoting their life to faith in God. And this demonstrates to us that following Jesus, trying to be spiritual or religious, is not about paying lip service. It's not about keeping the right appearances. It's about having faith in Jesus who forgives our sins. It's about knowing that we are so deeply and unconditionally loved by God that he sent Jesus to rescue us from our sin and to give us new life. A new life lived in the presence and the love of God. You see, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and maybe others in the crowd, we're not told that, but those people, their faith was located in the wrong place. That was the problem. It was located in a system, in a religious system. It was located maybe in people. But you can't find forgiveness of sins in a system or in people. You can only find it in Jesus. That's what Jesus is telling us. A man called John Dyer, he was a Welsh poet and pastor from the 18th century, he wrote these words. A man may go to heaven without health, without riches, without honours, without learning, without friends, but he can never go there without Christ. So this morning, I want to say to you and to myself, put your faith in Jesus today. Free yourself from the crowd of doubt and cynicism. Climb those steps, break that roof, and you will find a wonder-working, miracle-working Saviour, sin-forgiving Saviour for you today. May God help us to do that. Music team, please come up. The song we're going to sing to close our service now gives us an opportunity to put our faith in that miracle, wonder-working, sin-forgiving Saviour. And I really encourage you to do that as we sing, to take those obstacles that have become so big for you, bring them into this song, come to Jesus, rest in Him this morning. Thank you.
What are you turned into wine? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our water you turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand again? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are am in power a God, a God.
Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Father, thank you so much for Jesus Christ, the wonder-working, miracle-working, sin-forgiving Saviour. Lord, help us climb over those obstacles by faith this morning that are in our lives, Lord. Lift us up over the sadness, pain, and confusion. Remove the blockages, the tragedy of unbelief in our life, Lord. And come and have your way in us this morning, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.